Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom.
Hello, loves. Oh my gosh, can you believe how 2009 has just blazed by? Can you believe that? My God, when you procrastinate now, a whole month goes by instead of, like, you know, a day or two. It is so demanding, and but it's also amazing to see how all of you have been able to keep up with the, you know, media info crunch, been able to pattern recognition and be able to see the larger picture and the little specks that kind of twitter within the overall maze of this universe as it just clocks its way down. Remember John Moran talking about the United States as a Titanic and how all of these numbers that you can find on shopping tickets, on basketball games, the scores of basketball games and baseball games all correlated to the number of deaths and the people on the Titanic, and it was leading us down. It was just an amazing visual parallel. And that's what we're going to do tonight, is try and get a real... It's beyond satellite. We are getting something that is being downloaded from on high, from a source that is so pristine and so multitudinal. It's in this that so multidimensional, that we're just going to have a lot of fun tonight. And let me tell you, we're going to be spending 2 hours with Bob Dobbs and Ion. And in the first hour, we're just going to be joined with the gents and asking Ion about the predictions for 2010. And then the second hour, we're going to open it up and we're going to let you guys ask something about yourself. Do you want a reading from the perspective of Ion? Is there something you would like to know? And I don't think you have to give your name and date of birth, etc. You can ask a direct question, or you can just ask a question about something that is on your mind, a trend out there, a disaster, an opportunity, a growth, etc. And if he sees it on the horizon, it's just going to be an open forum here leading into amazing 2010 with this beautiful full moon and all of the associated beautiful lunacy of our fellow cohabitants. I hope you're all traveling safe and being as safe as you can out there. It's a holiday season. You know, lots of drama can go on in this season, you know. Well, if you're feeling that kind of a mixture, if you're feeling that kind of contrast, well, you can come in and help put the right mixture to kind of gray it out, to synthesize it into something yummy and delicious, as Ion would say. So let me welcome to the airwaves our venerable, beautiful guest, Bob Dobbs. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Evan. It's been a marvelous year, and you've been part of it, and I'm really glad to end it off and then go into a new year with you.
Oh, it is. Yes, you guys, it's been absolutely amazing, Bob. What you have done over the years of being on Radio Alchemy and just being so open, just hiding right in the outside and sharing so much. You're just a marvel, Bob. So great to spend this transition.
And let me tell you, Evan, yes. The agenda of ION, I've learned since they, zillions of entities from the Guff came through on March 18th this year. The agenda is that the Guff, where the souls go when we transition, is not big enough for the billions of souls here now. And so the Guff has to be enlarged. And one point that Ion's making is that we're enlarging the Guff by allowing ourselves to stay here. Thy kingdom come. We bring the non-physical here so we don't have to die. We refuse to die. It's an actual art exhibition that the famous conceptual artist Arakawa put on back in the 80s in the Guggenheim in New York. I met them a few years ago, and they have this book called We Refuse to Die, a big, you know, coffee table book, pictorial of their art they installed in the Guggenheim. Well, it's interesting, you know, a couple years later I meet Ion, and Ion is saying, not with a negative twinge, if you want to transition and move on, go back to the Guff, no problem. But the opportunity is opening, and this is the most utopian agenda we've ever heard of, that you cannot You can refuse. You can enjoy staying in the physical and not transition. And that's going to help solve the problem of the golf being too small. So that is something we're moving towards. That's preposterous to say, but that's the high standard of potential that ION's presenting to us. ION has arrived as a representative of the golf because it's got to go somewhere. It's coming here.
Okay, that's fascinating because right now, I understand after this climate change conference that happened in the Netherlands, that some of the spin that's going to come out is that the carbon footprint, the human, emissions, warming this world, it's going to bring massive collapse, is due to overpopulation. So each person is a carbon problem, and that they're going to push towards depopulation on a legitimate level in their minds. Because it has to do with the guilt trip of these human scars just polluting this beautiful planet. And that seems to be something that's swinging against the idea of everybody hanging around. But it also shows why there seems to be this real trend in longevity and being able to have replacement body parts and all these life extension technologies out there. It's very interesting, Bob, what you were talking about. Let me invite to the airwaves ION. Thank you, sir, for materializing with us yet again.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, Bob started us out with a bang, which here we are getting ready to continue into 2010, into this life-affirming, creative place that we're at, and that possibly all of those that are supposed to be shuffling off this planet will find a place that is packed, called the Guff. And we really hadn't. This was introduced to us because of that French Air France flight that crashed, leaving Brazil and disappeared. And that's the very first time you heard of the concept of the Guff. And I was wondering if we can do a rewind and talk about starting out. Where is the Guff, ION?
Well, okay, very good. That's a very good, great place to start. You got to enter to a concept. The Air France anomaly was actually slipping in and out of other parallel worlds. You have to understand there are dynamics larger than you. When you get beside yourself, you hear people say that. Well, that's more real than you know. You actually do. And in the parallelism, that there is a duality of every conversation is two conversations, well, they have to have some place to be, okay? But now the Gulf is a little bit different. It's the place when you're done with your meat sack part of your living, of your life. So the Gulf is that independent place because your spirit man goes on eternally. Not forever. Forever is that we have a problem with forever. Forever has to assume that there is indeed time. Humans created the concept, it's a false premise, we wouldn't have it, won't abide with it, called time. It's interesting. You humans don't know when it started, and every day you keep talking about when it's going to be over, when time shall be no more. Well, we would like to say on this beautiful, wonderful blue moon, and we also don't want to leave off the chip body as well as you enter in 010110. That's the cadence of the binary code of the end of the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning. You're just getting started. As marvelous, marvelous human creators, you're now coming into your power. And coming into your power means that you become culpably responsible for all that is in your world. Now, you're asking specifically, we had to lay a little foundation as we warm you up here just a little bit, from the dynamic that the Gulf is where you continue your physicalness in non-physical. Now, wait a minute. What? You have a meat sack. You're eternal, meaning you always are. There is no place that there was without you. Okay?
And so when you choose, and you choose every single time without fail or exception, when you choose no longer to be in physical, then you have to have some abode, some forwarding address, maybe that's the way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you were describing as the guff. Mm-hmm. And that's that spance where those unrealized manifestations and creations that you have longed to allow into your world, that you failed to allow into your world, also transfer to, okay? Probation, I guess, would be the way they do it when you have a will in probate.
Yes.
It would be an example like that. Well, where is your estate? Well, it's in probate. Well, when you get rid of your physical and get tired of your meat sack body, we think it's very wonderful. You certainly don't have to go, but if you choose to go, then where is your non-physical in probate? Well, that would be in the Gulf.
Wow.
There you go. That's a nice, easy way. Now, there's a larger dynamic, and you may have specific questions, and we will play. We love to play all day, every day. But our purpose, our only single best purpose in being summoned from non-physical is to remind you marvelous, powerful, all-knowing human creators that you have a meat sack, a blood, bones, piss, vinegar, spit, all of you that is. Okay, you have that. You also have a non-physical. That's how the coroner can tell whether or not you're deceased. So you, no one has a problem with you that you have a spirit man. But what we are here to bring and sew together into one ascension is this physical, non-physical, through not offending the labyrinth of your mind. Because there's many things that are portrayed in your world that you agree with and don't agree with and push against and don't push against. Your mind, is it plays a great deal of trickery with you. It lets you forget things so you can stumble into the same thing again and again and again. It's like when the Victrola gets hung up, when the needle is stuck. And then you go, Ma, hit the Victrola, the needle's stuck again. Well, many times in those are the days of your lives, it seems as though you start feeling that the Victrola is stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you may feel that the Victrola is winding down. So then it's like, oh, crank the Victrola, it's winding down. Well, you certainly have that ability and capacity. Or you have the ability just to remove the needle altogether from your vinyl that you're playing with at the moment.
May I ask?
Yes.
The relationship then, you were talking about Air France going between different dimensions and then the guff. What is the relationship between the dimensions and the guff? And if people live on multiple dimensions, do those other lives have access to the guff?
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. That's the job of the angels. To keep all that traffic. They're the air traffic controllers of the non-physical. There you go. But it's very clear that humans, human creators, have charge over the angels. Oh, wait. What? You mean they're that? You mean humans are that powerful? Yes. But they do what their job is to help you to your seat in the Gulf, if you have a seat, if that's the way you want to use it. And we're playing with the words, but the dynamic is just so you can get the pictorial very simply and easily, that sojourn you into the directions because you're not sure. But once you're without your mind, then guess what? You remember. The reason you don't remember is because of your mind.
Yes.
No, go ahead. That's if that's enough, we'll give you some more, but if that, we'll develop it as you want to go along here.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. I mean, it's... jumping around.
Evan.
Yeah,
Evan,
Bob.
I have a point.
Yeah.
I had pointed out recently to Carol and I that you have the parallel worlds, but Ion is now looking at the aspect of dimensions, and you mentioned dimensions, and maybe Ion would make a distinction, because Ion has done that with us.
Okay. Distinction.
You have You have dimensions. Now, even your scientists, oh, and you know how we feel about our scientists. We love and appreciate them immensely. The only thing you have left in your reality are the things that science can't disprove. You know how we feel about that. That's all the empirical evidence shows. That's all that's left, because everything else has been dispelled. But now, even your scientists are coming into this queered notion that there are indeed parallel dimensions, parallel worlds. Wait a second, maybe we got this time thing all wrong. Who said the speed of light is? Well, and then even the ones that you praise and still preach the oracle from your higher institutes of higher learning, your theory of relativity, well, I think the essence of that theory is that it's relative. You see?
Yes.
So now if it's relative, it's not finite. Well, if it's not finite, then how are all these laws and rules that you have to be judged by come into play?
But
see, it's a good thing they didn't make the law about the four-minute mile. Otherwise, that would be an impossibility.
Hmm.
So if you can go faster than the speed of light, then you screwed time.
Why can't time be a factor because of the existence of space?
But you got to start it. That's the great. If you want to create time, because you did create time, human creators created what you're calling the concept of time, but you're confusing timed events or the passing of time with the metronome version of, like in what you say, rote music, of timing. Timing is wonderful. Timing is a synchronicity. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But you took the timing, tick-tock of timing, of a cadence of the rhythm of a measure of music, and turned it into this great big thing that began and ends.
But can't it be parallel to the life of the meat sack and to the rhythm of the heart? And
yes, but that's the problem. So therefore, once you come to the end, the debt that all men must pay comes into the death, and we're saying, well, congratulations, you've now eradicated yourself, but you certainly don't have to.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
But we age.
Why?
Why do we age, Ion?
Well, you don't. You don't.
What happens? What causes the failure of organs?
Okay. The only reason that organs fail is that you ask and answer the question, what's the fastest path to your joy? Abby, darling, your body is not the same body that you came forth with. The cells in your body are reproducing constantly.
Hmm.
You have a new liver every year, year and a half, if you want to do it with time. You don't have the same lips. You don't have the same hair. You don't have the same fingernails. You don't have the same skin. Go in your house. If you find dust, the dermis is sloughing off and being replaced.
Hmm.
Your body is replicating itself instantaneously.
Hmm.
If you mean them all out in an average,
every
6 to 8 months, you're reproducing your entire body again.
Hmm.
That meat sack part keeps coming and going, coming and going, just as your moon waxes and wanes. But that doesn't mean you don't gauge that the moon is becoming less than because it's waxing and waning, nor should your body have to. You get caught in this trap. Well, I've been here 147 years, and no one else is here. I think I'm tired of playing. I don't think I want to play anymore. I can't even find anybody. All of my bridge partners have passed away. I think I'll just go on to my reward. Well, then you exit your body stage left. But you certainly don't have to.
Let me ask, when Bob was talking about the guff becoming full, I always wondered, how are spirits, or how are the characteristic personalities, mind that enters into this meat sack, where are they generated from? Because I thought, because of reincarnation, maybe it is a fixed amount of spirits that keep coming back for the lessons learned, but it sounds like there must be new new.
Well, they only have one coronation. If they crown, if you come into your kingship, your queenship, they only do it once. And there's no reincarnation.
What does that mean, to come into your king or queenship?
Oh, didn't we mention you are a god? You're royalty. You're a deity. You are the high end of this food chain that you're waiting on the Messiah to come back and to fetch you. Well, the Messiah is waiting on you to come into your, to become the bride, to become the queen, to become empowered. You see?
Yes.
But once you come into your own throne, and that's even if you forfeit your throne and you come back, they don't have another coronation. They only put the crown on your head once. And even if you abdicate it, it's okay. They only do the coronation once. So that we're not proponents of reincarnation. You see? It doesn't work. It's not logical. Because then you end up crossways that you have to come back as a cockroach because you didn't get it right this time.
Right, right.
So you get to pay the price, the eternal price, and then you get down to such an amoebic state that you can't ever receive or retrieve yourself back into head of your household. That thing. So, but now to be clear in your question, in your power, in your individual power, universes are wrought. Your world is completely, you are the center of your universe, despite what your mother told you, that the world doesn't revolve around you. Well, it does. It does.
Well, I guess I don't think
Ion completed that. We come. How do souls get created? I think Evan's question was.
Well, souls are eternal. The non-physical part that is non-physical is in tandem. All the non-physical that is. There's no more and there's no less of it. But it has the ability, because of the interaction with the human creator, the deity, it expands and contracts proportionately. It expands. You're not bound in this world to live in a certain size cardboard box. Some people have a great expansive box. Some people have no box. Some people have a fourth floor walk up. So you see, you're not judged or known by your environment that you create, that you inhabitate. Well, neither is your non-physical. Okay, it varies. So you, the human creator, get to decide how you go in this process. Now, as souls, how else do you explain your population increasing infinitesimally from where they were, without new souls coming into their forceps of reality? More creators are on the planet now than have ever been before.
But Ion, you're saying the soul never was created because it always is and was. Mm-hmm.
And somehow
that is correct.
It wasn't created.
And somewhere in the non-physical, it differentiates itself.
Yes. Well, it wants to be. It chooses to come forth for the contrast, to mix it up,
right,
to create.
Right,
what it chooses for. And then when folks get tired of the contrast and they get tired of creating, now when is that? Well, you human creators, you do. When is that? Well, you do, but we can't understand when that would be a good time.
Now, does this mean that there is not a heaven and hell?
Not the way who invented heaven and hell?
It's a concept.
It is a concept, and it's created, and if you can be, do, or have anything that you would like to be, do, or have. So if you would like to have a hell, Very good. No problem. It's certainly arranged. And we jokingly from non-physical say, you go to heaven for the weather and you go to hell for the company. All your friends that you know and love are there. So, but hell came, even your scriptures don't give reference to this thing called Hades that you reference. It's a concept that's been developed.
Yes.
In the original writings, there is no hell.
Yes.
And they speak of the Gulf. They speak of the Gulf? They certainly do. When Jesus was crucified, he went to the Gulf. That's what it's called. And he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
Wow.
That's what it says. And, see, and the Catholics understand that. They have, they get it a little tangled up, but that's okay. They at least had the moral fortitude to write it down and slipped it by the Council of Nicaea to make it be an open canon that could be in their scriptures. So kudos to them. They weren't the most accurate historical recorders, but at least they wrote it down. So, you know, give the devil his due, I guess is the way to say that.
Yes.
So that's the whole point. When Jesus, before he made his ascension, he was crucified, and he went to hell, and he went to hell, and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, because the human creators had gotten crossways with that whole process. So he came forth, and the non-physical part that was Jesus came forth to eliminate the human creators from death. You don't have to die anymore, because you want eternal life, but that's not in some woo-woo land. See, they fault us for being dancers of the woo-woo of the spooky spiritual, when you are the spooky spiritual ones, because you're the one that activates that whole process anyway. It's your world. You can embrace it as you like. Hell, this place where Jesus is supposed to forgive. Oh, wait, okay. So you don't have to go to hell. Well, he eliminated it altogether, and the grave.
But you're saying he. Are you saying that Christ and the story in the Bible was actually so?
We're giving the reference that you human creators wrote down.
Okay.
Giving empirical references so you don't have to get crossways and tangled up in this whole dogmatic issue that puts you in a certain sized box.
Wow. God, you know what? Yeah. We have so many strings attached to, with that box. Lots of paper, lots of wrapping, lots of tape, Ion.
Lots of stuffing. We call it Excelsior. That's what they used to call it, Excelsior.
Yes. There's so much stuff to unwind. Let me remind folks, this is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, San Diego, and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, Radio Alchemy. We're coming up on 2010. This is just a New Year's jam session, with Bob Dobbs and Ion. And we're going to be taking your calls at the top of the hour when we come back from this break. We're going to get into some specific questions with Ion about our environment for our meat sacks down here and what it's going to take to actually make this a place that we'll want to stay because the Guff is full. And we'll talk more about that. With our guests tonight, Ion and Bob Dobbs on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles and San Diego, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. Radio Alchemy.
Eclipsing conventional wisdom. All alchemists converge at www.radioalchemy.com for streaming audio and more.
And And, of course, go to www.kpfk.org. There, of course, you're going to find all the wonderful programs out there, wonderful programmers, wonderful things going around L.A. to try and meet those folks that are like you and unlike you, have some contrast, and then go on with your growth. And, yeah, you know, shake it up. And so on the lines, Bob Dobbs and Ion.
Eben,
yes,
I have something
sir.
To add.
Yes, please.
Ion is saying that Jesus is something that was written down. Ion has told us there were actually three Jesuses over a period of spans, of stacked up nows. We can't use the word time. Over a period of stacked up nows. I don't know if Ion would want to go into that, but you're just referencing, Ion, what is written. Are you telling us that what was written is based on events that happened?
Well, they were historically recorded events. They came from the human creator somehow. And if it was from the heat-oppressed brain, it's still the human's creation.
Let me ask. Oh, yes, sir. Let me ask real quick, because we are talking about the Bible. Then in the beginning of Genesis, when...
what about the three Jesuses?
Okay, but... Okay.
Well, that has nothing to do with this topical conversation.
The three...
Oh, okay.
Oh, three Jesuses don't? Okay.
Yeah, maybe Ion doesn't want to go into that.
Oh, okay.
No, we don't mind, but that's not what makes this point that
okay.
we're trying to get you to. But
okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, sir. Please continue your point.
No. You were asking about in Genesis.
Yes.
In the beginning. There you go.
Yes. And the key phrase is, we made them in our image. Who is speaking there?
You are the human creator. Now let's get this right now. From Genesis to the Revelation, if this is where you want to play, that's all right with us. We have no problem. We're with you. They've got it a little bit backwards. The revelation comes when you start this place, the Genesis, the Genesee, the beginning, is when you become the last Adam, which is the first Adam. When you come into your ascension, when you come into your power, then you control your Garden of Eden. Then you are ascended. Then you have your physical, you have your non-physical, and it doesn't offend the labyrinth of your mind.
Right.
Then, therefore, if you say, mountain, be ye moved, get out of the way, because the mountain's going to move. When you come into your power, that's what we're trying. That's our job.
Okay.
Then you got it right on the point, right out of the chute.
So the so the Bible should have started in Revelations, because that's kind of like what we're in, and we end in Eden.
Exactly, because otherwise it becomes Paradise Lost, and you create this conundrum or dogma, and you have to be careful and don't let your dogma run over your karma. That's a whole other conversation, and we'll play with that too, but it's all right. You come to a place where all that's happening is humans, individual creators, are coming into their knowing. Once you know something, Eben, you can't unknow it.
Right.
Once you know something, you can't unknow it. You can forget it. You can push against it. You can not have it. But once you know it, you can't unknow it.
Then
okay?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
No. That's okay. Very good.
Okay, very good. Another tangential question. Once we reach Eden, in the story, they have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
You're spot on tonight, girl. Good for you. Very good. Very good. This anomalous tree. I'm sorry we didn't let you finish your
thought. No, please go.
Yes. This tree is an anatomically correct flow of how the human creators are grounded with the root system. They are thick-skinned with a bark system, and they're ever-reaching with their branch, with their limbs, with their glorious blooming vessels that are the bounty of their creation. Because even trees leave, don't they?
Yes.
All right. That's a cycle. That's not time. That's a cycle. It's so the individual human creator can come and get more voracious
in their groundedness and bear much fruit.
And that's that regenesis of the cells and everything like
exactly,
you were talking about.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. You don't bury a tree once the leaves fall off, do you? You might prune it a bit. Well, but your surgeons do that for you now. They'll whack things off. Go to your doctor and complain. They'll take a chainsaw and they'll cut it right off of you. They'll take out your uterus. They'll take out your gallbladder.
Yes.
They'll take out your tonsils. They'll cut your big toe off if it bothers you. You go and get your hair cut. Now you've got drugs to make your eyelashes grow. But I guess once upon a midnight dreary, you used to have your eyelashes cut off. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, people cut off their eyebrows and then paint them on.
Well, exactly, exactly. They shave them off and then take the pencil and put them back on. Absolutely.
Right.
Many are having them tattooed on these things.
Yeah.
So they wake up with a full makeup and they just have to do a little touch-up now and again. How marvelous. Well, the Joker plays with that too, I think, a little bit. But that's another conversation. But very, very good. That's the example. Just so you could remember.
Right.
And if you forget, go lean up against a great big oak tree, and then you can enjoy that experience over and over and over and over and over again.
So is it
very perfect?
Is it true, sir, then, that when they talk about the Kabbalah, the tree of life,
yes,
that you see, and we've always been shown the above ground structure, you know, with the Malkuth and all of the different associated energies and gods.
Yes.
At some point, I saw that there is the parallel system that is underground, that there is a whole set of corresponding, is it deities or what? Could you talk a little bit about that and how that relates to?
The from the Kabbalah's reference, is that the one you're asking?
Yes.
From?
Or, yes.
Okay. All right. They set it up as a strata, that you have a horizon, an event horizon, and then you have those above and those below.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The same thing is true with a seed. A seed is put in the below, and then it comes forth.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Not the other way around.
Oh,
but wait, it does. It comes, once it blossoms or comes to maturity, then it produces seed that then is sacrificed back to the ground.
Right.
So it's that same chain of the process, but the seed is not gone. The seed just hasn't blossomed into a new seed.
Hmm.
If that's the reference you're looking for.
Okay. Yes, yes. In it, they aren't necessarily... I guess in the Kabbalah, there are ways that these energies of this tree of life are summoned or somehow correspond to some of the particular energies and character factors in the meat sack and our non-physical together. I was wondering if...
Not so much.
Very good.
Not so much. Because what that does typically
right.
is it protracts and confuses. We like the simpler, we like the Occam's razor approach.
Yes.
The simpler approach, because more people can embrace the simplicity of process, because then they don't get tangled up if they've offended another non-physical.
Okay, very good.
Other non-physicals don't care. See, we make the standard joke of God doesn't care what kind of car you drive. He doesn't care. Man cares. Oh, don't get too nice a car. You're taking resources away from me. So if you'd have less, I could have more.
Right.
Well, that's not how it works.
Right.
But see, from the deity side of coming into your power, you want everyone to have a Maserati if that's their desire.
Right.
You know, great. Knock yourself out. If that pleases you, good. They'll build auto pistas, and you can go as fast as you want to go. But you do anyway, though, don't you?
Yeah.
So you see it squirts out somewhere else, even when they say, no, 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 70's the top.
Right,
but
right.
Then we go, why do they have a speed limit on the 10? You can't go more than 5 miles an hour. It's an impossibility. So they could save their signs because you can't move on that road regardless of how fast you want to go. Very good.
I want to talk to both of you about some of this in times lather. I think that's being bathed. The plant's kind of being dipped on it. But before we go there, I just wanted to go back to the Garden of Eden. What other trees were present there? Was there the tree of life?
You mean gonna be there?
Well, was it there? Because I thought there was supposed to be a flaming sword.
This is where you're coming to, not where you came from.
Yes.
This is where you're going to. What kind of trees would you like in your garden, Evan?
Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
There it is.
Now
okay.
It's open. Now it's open. Now it's not a closed canon anymore. We're opening the canon once again. Now you can write the story the way you want it. You can record it or not. It's okay. You still are. You somehow drag yourself most everywhere you go. Do you not?
Seem to come
including
along.
Including in transition.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, that's an absolute choice.
When,
all the way to the gut. That's not an edict that is prescribed from on high that all men must die. That's man's decision to transition when they're done. That's why you take yourself to the guff. You do. You do. See, we wouldn't be having this conversation. What if we had this same conversation if you're, say, a baby and the vertebrae connects, the muscle in your vertebrae connects to your spine in the back of your head, and when that connects, then all of a sudden you can get up and walk. We don't have this conversation of you're alive and then you're dead like you have where you are just crawling and rolling and cooing and carrying on, and then all of a sudden you become erect and start walking. That's a great transition, too. But you don't have this conversation from that level because that's natural, that's normal, that's just a process, you see.
Right.
You don't have a party, you don't have a wake, they don't send flowers, your family, friends don't gather and send food.
Right.
They don't put you in a box because now you're able to walk. Right?
Right.
And that's no more of a process than when if you decide that you no longer want to create on this plane any longer, and decide to transition into another world or to the Gulf, that's when it becomes this sense of loss, only because you humans won't allow the conceptual process that it's just a stage that you have chosen to sojourn to.
Okay. Okay, that is wonderful.
So we'll wrap it back up. I know you're waiting for the punchline. Yes, Evan, every death is a suicide. Every death is a suicide.
Hmm.
You cannot. They can put the gun to your head. They can blow your brains out. And if you don't choose to go, you can hang around, and you have human empirical proof that is indeed the reality.
Hmm. Okay.
You can fall out of an airplane, break every bone in your body, and get up and walk away. But you also can sneeze, stop your heart, go into anaphylactic shock, and expire right this red hot second.
If you really wanted to go.
If you really want to go, that's exactly correct. And it never happens any other way.
So, what is the guff then full of damaged souls?
Never. There is no damage.
What? So
there is no damage. There is no damage. You can't damage the soul. You can't damage the soul.
Emotional reverberations.
That's your mind. That's your mind. That's the labyrinth of your mind crisscrossing you up. He loves me. He doesn't love me. She loves me. She doesn't love me. They want me. They don't want me. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm hot. Oh, I'm hot. I'm hot. I'm hot. Global warming. Global warming. Global warming. Now, we're done with that. It's too warm. Global cooling. Global cooling. Global cooling. Global cooling. Give me $1 billion and we'll cool down your planet. Okay, here's your $1 billion. Now it's all cold again. Congratulations. You marvelous creator. You got it. Ta-da! There you go. Next case. You see,
it is.
I like that sweater. I like that sweater. No, I don't like that sweater. That's old. That's not style. That's not the style anymore. They changed the style. I get all my wardrobe all straightened out now. It doesn't work anymore. What am I going to do?
That's so funny. That Ovalaji, who calls in, he'll call in tonight, calls that the monkey mind. And that's exactly what it's that chatter.
We like that. We like that. With perfect words. The human creator reigns supreme. Yes, the monkey mind. mind. That's very wonderful.
Now, okay, all right, you guys.
Maybe, Evan, we could get in some particular predictions.
Right, right. That's where I want to start, because...
Yeah, we've heard the broad principles.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. So, okay, to narrow it down, so it seems very much that, 2012 is coming up, and people are being prodded through... through the power of suggestion, at a collapse, kind of heating up the idea of the second coming, or, something to that effect, just looking at the mindset of those that are perpetuating some of the war conflict, what do you see going on in the manner of wars? What's going to happen in the Middle East, things like that?
Well, you don't even have to go that far. You don't have to go that far away. Now, you must know from non-physical, we'll answer your questions, every question. We'll answer them specifically. But you must understand that this evolving process is all up to the human creator.
Yes.
Okay?
So it can change.
It does change.
It does change.
Just like your global warming, global cooling, global cooling. There you go.
Right, right.
Same thing. It's like the skirts that go up and down like a window shade.
Yes.
That's what happens. Okay.
Okay.
So every dynamic that is in your creation can be embraced or not. Chicken Little had a problem. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Well, the sky fell on Chicken Little, did it not?
Right.
But it doesn't have to fall on you.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're clear, being clear.
Yes.
So now you're asking about dynamics of wars.
Yes.
Okay. Here's how it works. They set up this hierarchy in the Council of Nicaea in 300. Oh, wait, that's the back part. Uh-oh, you didn't want that.
Okay. No, we want that too.
Well... Long story short, everyone who doesn't agree with me must surely die. Well, wait, what kind of sense does that make? It would have to be a human creator that was vulnerable in their place of power.
Yes.
To say that my power doesn't reign supreme in my world, so therefore I have to create by default. Well, if you find yourself in the creation by default, then yes, war can break out in your neighborhood. And you don't have to blame it on terrorists or the jihadist or you don't have to have that too large of a concept. But don't worry, those powerful, they're not so powerful, those powerful, you put them in control.
Mm-hmm.
Those wonderful, we're being kind,
mm-hmm.
Marvelous human creators that run your world. They don't really run your world. They think they do, but they don't. Because every time they try to run your world, you kick back and say, no, 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 no. To the point, this is what we're trying to get to the point that says these issues always come back down to the supreme deity that I serve is inadequate. And every time the human creators can't come into their own power, when you care more about what your neighbor's doing than what you can do, then that may set off a war. Whether that's in the Middle East or the Upper East or the Lower East or the East East or the Far East or the West. Oh, wait, that is Far East. If you go far east enough, you get west.
How can we identify someone that is in that vulnerable position?
It's easy. That's the easiest thing in the world. You have a non-physical, your very own non-physical that's attached to you. Go to your local coroner in your county and say, hello, Mr. Coroner. I'm a marvelous human creator. Could you please check and see if I'm still with you? And the coroner looks and they take your pulse and they look at you and they'll ask you, what's the first president you remember? And you'd say George Washington. And they'd say, oh, you're alive. You're alive. You're kicking. You look there. You're functioning. You're still with us. Okay, that's how you can tell. That's how you can tell.
Everybody's vulnerable. You're saying everyone's vulnerable then.
Everybody's a creator. Now, once you get that cleared up, once you get that cleared up, then listen to what their words, listen to their creations. What is a thought?
Pre-verbal, conceptual idea.
Okay, and then those conceptual ideas, if they if those thoughts are thunk long enough, they become a belief.
Yes.
Then that belief becomes a belief system. Then that changing someone's belief system is very, 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 very different. It's unconscionable. You can't. It's very difficult to change your belief system. But you question then how you come to this. Well, I believe this way. Well, why? Because you thought that way, and you're a marvelous human creator. So if you separate that, then you can't change other marvelous human creators' way of thinking. So therefore, you set the troops, get the bombs, line it up.
So what we're trying
to blow you up.
Yes, sir. So what we're I'm trying to get to is who is harnessing this kind of mindset right now, when we are looking at the hotspots of the U.S. being, you know, really agitating and getting things going in the Middle East right now. I guess what is going to happen in the Middle East in 2010?
Middle East, we thought it was Detroit. Sorry. Have you been to the Middle East? There's not much going on there. It's a great big sandbox.
Well,
there's not much going on. There's not much going on. And
okay.
If you get outside of the confines of your own embodied CNN here, you find that the world is a very peaceable place. Don't you find it unusual that they're doing the full body scans on only flights coming to the United States? If you're in the Middle East and you're flying from Syria to Jordan, they don't put a full-body scan on you. It's only if you're coming to the United States that they have to scan you extra sensitively.
Well,
interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Well,
if you're in Canada and you go to England, they don't do a full-body scan on you. But if you fly from England to the United States, oh, you better believe they're going to puff you out really well. They're going to make sure there's no innuendos of bombs and explosives.
But this is exactly it then. When you talk about the Middle East being, you know, just a big sandbox and nothing really going on there, it's a peaceable world. Look at the punishment that Americans and anybody that wants to come to America gets for somebody with links to a mindset that originates out of Saudi Arabia or, you know, wherever, and the trickle-down of that terror to people because of that one action out of a place that's a big sandbox. And I guess that's what I'm trying to get to in particular is...
Well, exactly.
Right.
Who in Afghanistan exercised their power that makes them a world threat? It's an anomaly to us. The best you can have is two goats.
Yeah. Wow.
The very best you have. They didn't know what an M16 was until the United States sent them.
True. Very true.
They didn't have a care. They didn't know and they didn't care. Poor Lou Dobbs, he didn't have any causal effect on Afghanis. They didn't watch. They didn't care. They were just doing their thing.
So,
and you speak of it as this war, this terrorist has to be, this nastiness has to be somewhere else that's trying to creep into your borders. Well, guess what? The immigration laws may have to be changed because people are now trying to get out. They're not fighting to get in any longer.
Yeah,
they're going back to Mexico so they can live peacefully.
Sure.
They're gonna put the walls up. They're gonna put some walls up, but it's gonna keep you disconnected Americans in, not to let the other nasty ones out.
Do you literally mean that?
We literally mean just that. That's exactly correct.
Now, what would precipitate something like that?
The very idea that you're living in abject fear, the whole process. But now that's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. Human creators, they're smart. That's the problem. That's the problem. They're smart. They're not having it. They see. They will finally find the checks that Osama bin Laden's cashing from the CIA.
I heard Osama was dead.
Oh, well, he's still cashing his CIA check.
Somebody is.
And there's referencing. You can find it. Your chip body, oh, it's everywhere. You can know if someone has flatulence in anywhere. They Big Brother's there. It's a watching. It knows all. It sees all.
So,
well, then that becomes very easily referenced.
Okay, so in a sense, I've been trying to get a prediction about war in the Middle East, whether Israel is going to do a first strike against Iran. I wasn't asking in particular, but just what you had seen out there. And you've kind of said, hey, there's more peace. You know, it's kind of just a big sandbox, et cetera. Is there anything, is there going to be an attack against Iran? Let's say, are the people and the revolt that is going against the government in Iran, can they be successful?
No.
Why not?
Because the Sunnis love the Shiites. They don't have a problem with them.
And they'll come.
Americans have problems with them. So therefore, we have to pit you against your other one. How did you do it with your brother and sister? You pick it, so that they hit you in the nose, so you could go, Mom, my nose is bleeding. Johnny hit me in the head with a bat.
But are you?
I was poking at him.
But
you pick the fight until there's a fight, and then you can set off the war. You have to organize this thing in such a way that, well, they made a movie about it to make the tail wag the dog.
Right. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
If you could just, but human creators are marvelous. They don't play long. They don't play long. How is it that Vietnam couldn't end? What was so special? Vietnam was about as significant as your Middle East. If you had everybody in the entire country, you could put them in Rhode Island. And Rhode Islandians don't have a problem with themselves. But then it becomes this. This incorrigible, oh, in the Korean War. Oh, no, that was a conflict. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
There must be a difference between a conflict and a war. I guess it depends on how you look at it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The whole gist of this war business, it's only as it serves your Politburo of the moment.
Okay, the Politburo of the moment. Okay.
You can't have silence on the radio, Evan.
I know. I just have to run everything. I've just had to go over and do something real quick. And I was like, oh, this is a good time to go. Let me remind folks, this is KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles and San Diego, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. I'm telling you, it can be a little squirrely trying to get something in particular from the non-physical, because I think Ion is so vast and keeps reminding us that the future is written now, if there's a future, if that's a time thing again, dagnabbit, this parallel, our parallel nows are ever in our making in the present. And so whatever is projected, you know, it doesn't have to be. And I think that is the challenge for us right now, is to start doing something for ourselves in 2010 so that we can make better creator decisions. Maybe that that really can manifest if we go to our attics in the guff and start, you know, downloading some of those things, some of our dreams. You know, that Eden can be amongst us. It's ahead of us. Really fascinating with Ion and Bob here. The number here is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. We're going to, you know, we're opening up the phone lines if you want to come on down and just mix it up. That is great fun. We're coming into 2010, and we're having fun with the gents, with Bob and Ion, and you're welcome too. This is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in beautiful Santa Barbara. Stay tuned. Stay tuned for the second hour of Radio Alchemy on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. We'll be right back.